member of the project committee, and I am representing the province of the system A.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Herman Groenewald, representing the Northwest province and member of the province.
Okay, I'm glad to give this opportunity to the members of the staff before I've been to the department.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Shoei Kodenson. I'm the contact designer to the
company. To me, next to me, are you speaking? Yes, can you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tony Bono. I'm in the committee.
Next to me, a few members in particular, is Supera Mutilin, who's a who's going to be our secretary today, and after the conference, and who pilot baby is having a problem, is not well. So we'll see that in the head of this that he's not well. So who pilot is good and good and who will be there to pay up the delay as well as the secretary today. Before I give this
bizlerin varlığı bu konuda da çok çözümlerle konuşmalarında da var.
Good morning, I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer for the Law Society of South Africa.
PMG? Yeah. I'm Brittany Varda from PMG.
And without wasting any time, I will request that we to keep this one.
comment on the portfolio committee, which is the bill that has been passed by the National Assembly and considered by the South currently. There are three aspects that we want to that we want to identify, which if they can be understood, it will be easy for any person who can say we need to approve the budget. Firstly, we want to give a brief explanation on why do we say this bill is a transitional bill, the transitional nature of the bill. Secondly, we want to explain there was a question on the contingency agreement act, and thirdly, there was a question on payment for the transfer of a matter from the high court or from the military court to the high court, and who pays the fee relating to that. Chairperson, we are saying this particular bill is not an amendment to the Principal Act RFA. It is a standalone legislation. It has a measured lifespan. It is meant for a particular purpose. And once that particular purpose has been achieved, this bill will be abrogated by this bill, which means its lifespan will come to an end. The bill only addresses certain claimants, not all claimants. It has a specific title. It targets about 8,000 to 10,000 claimants who were passengers and who were injured before 1st August 2008. And those passengers are injured in the accidents where their driver was the sole cause of collision. The target group includes passengers whose claims have not been subscribed, whose claims have not been settled by subsettled, whose claims have not been finally determined by the court of law. This is the target group that this bill targets. It targets the passengers whose claims have not subscribed, whose claims have not been settled, and whose claims have not been finally determined by the court of law. This bill does not target the following group, or it excludes the following group. All passengers with limited claims who were injured before the attack, whose claims have become subscribed and have been settled or determined by the court of law. The target group also excludes all passengers who were injured before the attack of 2008 in the circumstances where there was contradictory evidence on the part of another driver. That is why we say this is a transitional bill. And once this particular target group are all targeted, like we are saying, there are about 8 to 10,000 claims that are existing. Once this particular target group has been targeted for and the matter has been settled, this bill automatically will come to an end. It means it will not be used because it shall have served the particular purpose and the lifespan of the bill comes to an end. And that will be a question of later after some 5 to 10 years to remove it from the station. And we forget about it. Look at the future amendments, or the amendments that shall have been at the time, or the new act that shall have been introduced at the time. The next issue that needs to be amplified is the contingency fee. So I will give to Mr. Tarantum to explain the contingency fee arrangement.
Thank you, Chair, the honorable members will remember that the Contingency Fees Act is a piece of legislation which falls under the control of the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. The RAF has taken various steps to enforce the proper application of the law. The Contingency Fees Agreement has a number of controls and mechanisms which protect claimants, and there are specific provisions in the Act which the RAF is concerned about in order to address excessive charging and excessive fees. It's compelled compliance with the Contingency Fees Act when matters are settled by revising their offers of settlement. And they've taken matters to court and they have judgments where the judges are now requiring compliance with that act. Essentially, the Contingency Fees Agreement Act governs matters where attorneys take claims on contingency and they then take a portion of the capital payment. The Act says they may only take 25% of the capital amount or double their normal fee. They may only take the lesser of those two amounts. So they do not automatically become entitled to 25% of the capital amount. They may either get 25% of the capital amount or in instances where the normal fee, double the normal fee is less than that, then they can only get double the normal fee. Attorneys had initially argued that there was a thing called a common law contingency fee. The courts do not agree and say there's no common law contingency judgment, and then there's a judgment in the South Kalkan High Court of Judge Watapelo, which reinforces the view of the fact that the courts will now also play their part and will ensure compliance with that contingency fees act in order to protect innocent players.
But then that is our identification of the contingency fee and the act. Very significant is that this act does not fall into the jurisdiction of transport. It falls under the Department of Justice, but we have seen other acts making means to make sure that the court enforces to the latter the contingency fee argument act. And like we have referred, or the court has referred to the judgment against Judge Mujahid, whereby it stated in the judgment that the next matter which we feel, the next question that was raised was pertaining to transfer of the matter, the file from the magistrate court to the high court, and as to who pays the legal cost there. It was the question that came from the court. If you look into our bill at clause 2.1e, paragraph 2, it facilitates access to increased compensation. It protects the right of payment by allowing transfer and preventing prescription, subject to High Court Rules and Medical Court Act, which is under the Department of Justice and Personal Development. Only the following measures will be transferred from the Medical Court to the High Court. Where the claim cannot be settled with RAF and someone has already been issued in the Medical Court, and the amount of the claim now exceeds 100,000. It is what we call jurisdiction by amount, because we control jurisdiction by land jurisdiction, by district and regional offices. But this was the jurisdiction by amount. The matter that exceeds 100,000 rand, or that is the claim that exceeds 100,000 rand, needs to be considered in the High Court. And any amount that is less than 10,000 rand, up to 100,000 rand, needs to be considered as to be entertained in the magistrate court. So it's a question of jurisdiction, which is managed or enforced in terms of the Magistrate Court Act, the Magistrate Court Rules, and also in terms of the High Court Rules. The following letters will be transferred where the claim cannot be settled with the IRS, and someone has already been issued in the Magistrate Court, and the amount of the claim now is 600,000. Only claimants who are finding their own litigation will have to pay the out-of-pocket expense fund. That is the claimant who has consulted an attorney, and there's an arrangement that he will pay out of his pocket. They will pay upfront the total amount of money. But in answering that question that was raised, RAF is ultimately liable to the claimant's party and party cost upon settlement. So that is the answer to the question that was raised previously. Chairperson, these are the issues that we wanted to identify to the members. And what is significant is why do you pay this fee to constitutional pension? We need to know which target groups are there, and what will happen once the target group has been satisfied. We are saying this fee will come to an end. It's important to know that it is not an amendment. It is a standalone bill that is aimed at a particular purpose. And once that purpose is achieved, it will actually will come to an end. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. So, members, that was the presentation from the department on the explanation, fair explanation about the fee and what is the purpose of the fee that is needed to keep another chamber for us, the purpose of the fee. Therefore, I think the previous week we had some lengthy discussion about the dividend fee, and it was raised our concern. Today, the judgment is to protect the interest from our concerns that has concerned the past. Therefore, I will allow me to end the comment before we are ready to the next. Honourable Member Denman.
Thank you, Chair President. The time we have structure would then express my perception and further move it back. But we accept I would move that we today adopt this function.
Okay, let's see other members. You or Mr. Nathan is moving forward. The acceptance would be agreed with me. Mama Chema, followed by honorable member, followed by honorable member.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to actually appreciate this department. What we were requesting, this is what we were actually requesting. So next time you must understand that when you come to the select committee, don't take for granted that because you have passed the National Assembly, the portfolio committee, now when you come to us, you must just say to us, agree. There are processes to be followed and you need information as we've got now, and we appreciate it. So this is a lesson for the future, so that when we come to the NCOP, we must understand that the NCOP understands the processes to be followed. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Fatman, also faculty.
Thank you, Jefferson. Never least say the management to the department. A new candidate. I just like Jefferson is one of the foundation. Very
the mandatory then it will be a short, very short approval. But the court processes, as we know, it depends on the, it's like a game of chess. It depends on the only move of any other party. It depends as to how does another party accept to a particular settlement that might be made in order of court within court. And if they don't agree, then it's going to be a legal argument in court. It's beyond our control. The chairperson there is the judge that is deciding that. But we really, really wish to see this matter being finalized so that we can continue to move to implement the principal act, which will ultimately be overtaken also by the new act that is being in pipeline. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, I think that was the explanation from the department because it required from the approach. For an example, from that presentation, they also indicated the targets of people whom they are targeting. They also indicated somewhere that you can from the individual if you wanted to pursue the next one. And I think the intention of the people was to protect the people. If the court can call it a tax, some money was going to the lawyer instead of going to the government. And also, that's why the tax has been mentioned last week about the issue of the initiative which was taken by the government, who proposed to initiate a sexual commission who was investigating for some of the cases. I think the intention of the deal is correctly so, to try to address, to cover people, so that it can, because I'll put an example, the which was put by the department, which the High Court, where they mentioned the judge, that's not what was originally going to be yeah, who continuously indicated that this presides in that before reaching any argument, but people must comply with the act. Because what is the key fundamental issue is the act itself, whether people are complying or not. Because we can have good act, good or rule, whatever. While these people don't want to apply that something as well, people continue to challenge it as to court. That is my understanding of it. Therefore, my understanding is that the majority of the members seems to agree, they agree with the speed. But for any different view, if it's none, therefore, as the Chairman said, I will go on to say the Select Committee on Public Services, having considered the subject of the road exit fund, in bracket, traditionally provisioned, in those brackets, Bill B 22B of 2012, in bracket, National Assembly Section 75. Those brackets refer to it as classified by the Joint Changing Mechanism as the Section 75B because it has agreed to the deal. But before we agree, I wanted to request that maybe the department to go close by close. Sorry. I request the secretary to go close by close each week so that we can to put on record the clause which we agreed upon. Is it clear, members? Yes.
Thank you, Secretary. I'm not sure that I think it's you who did that first by the
way. Okay, fine. Yeah. question, I'm just in the formality because we have already agreed with the bill. Yes. Number one is the definition of the bill which was in this act, that unless the context in the case otherwise find there's the same meaning of the bill as defined in the Road Accident Fund Act 1999, Act number 56 of 1999. New Act means the Road Accident Fund Act of 1996, Act number 56 of 1996, as it stood from 1st August 2008 onwards. Old Act means the Road Accident Fund Act of 1996, Act number 56 of 1996, as it stood prior to August 1st, 2008. Prescribed means prescribed by the minister by regulation in the Gazette. Third party means a person who has a right to claim compensation from the fund in terms of Section 17 of the Old Act, whose claim is subject to the limitations imposed by Section 18 1 or 2 of the Act, and whose claim has, upon this Act taking effect, not prescribed or being finally determined by settlement or judgment. And then number two is the issue of the transmission which was given by the department. And then number three was also the short title and announcement that this act is called the Road Accident Fund Transitional Provision Act of 2012 and comes into operation on the date fixed by the President by the proclamation in the Gazette. So, honourable members, as I already said, is that the bill is agreed to. Yes, Mama, I wanted to say something.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair President. I was saying to the Secretary that yes, we do form a quorum, and then I move for the adoption of the
you. you say that again?
This is what's
done. Okay.
I'm still interested.
No, come, let's talk.